scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20, found on page 35 in your pew Bibles. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, this is a different kind of sermon today. We have a task before us, and I wish to allow this scripture to launch me into a reflection on what it is that we must do. It's a great scripture, one that is filled with all manner of instruction for what it means to be a disciple. I'm always struck by that last phrase, "immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." Don't you feel bad for Zebedee, left there holding the nets, saying, "Where are you going? We've got work to do." When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the fishermen, heard the call of Jesus, they marched off and they embraced a new life. They joined with a band of 10 others, and in reality, ultimately, a vast number of other Galileans, to follow Jesus into a new way of life, a way of hope and love and peace. They embraced a life that eventually would free them from the limitations of a world that was bound by division of power and privilege. And they found themselves doing things they never thought possible. That's an important thing to remember. The invitation that Jesus brought ushered them into a life within the context of community, where the power of the whole is greater than the power of its parts. And they learn to trust God, and more importantly, and perhaps for our own hearts, they learn to set aside the anxieties that responsible people have learned so well. Well, these are all things that we must keep in mind as together we tackle a formidable task. On March 4th, we will meet in worship and receive pledges and contributions directed toward paying down the debt that we, all of us, accepted at the time that we approved the rebuilding of our parking lot and the renovation of our church entrance and gathering space. The goal is to pay off the existing mortgage as fast as possible, avoiding the necessity to refinance the present loan over the course of the next 20 years, and it has profound implications for us. It is a responsible and an achievable goal. The plan was devised by a special committee established by the Finance Committee, and it seeks to avoid the burden of turning the remaining $500,000 balance, that's what remains on our mortgage, turning that balance into a $900,000 drain upon the resources of this church. Because that's what it would cost us if we refinance at the present rate and extend those payments out over the next 20 years. We will have taken a $500,000 balance and almost doubled it. Now, I know the anxiety that just announcing such an effort brings up in our hearts. Most of us look at that debt and we don't think of ourselves as being a part of a whole community. We think of ourselves as individuals, and we look at it and feel like we alone are responsible for paying it off. The size of the task defeats us even before the effort begins. We forget, you see, that as a faith community, we accepted this obligation together. This is not my task, it is not your task, it is our task together. One person is not asked to do everything. Rather, every one of us is asked to do something. And we are asked to prayerfully decide what that something is for each and every one of us. That is the nature of the call that Jesus extends to us. He calls individuals, but he calls us into a community of faith that with God's help is far more powerful than we are alone. We are part of a whole that is far more powerful than each individual part. While we have an advantage over James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and over Andrew and Simon as well, they had no time to imagine where this marching off to follow Jesus might lead them. All they knew was that the invitation was compelling. Beyond that, they apparently trusted that all would be well. I admire that. I'm trying to embrace that in my own life. We have the luxury of imagination. We can imagine just how reaching that goal that's placed before us will profoundly impact, and I would say transform, the ministry of this church. I made this point in the tower chimes that just went out in the mail. Perhaps you've already received it, and it bears repeating here. Imagine what our church could do in mission outreach with an additional $48,000 a year to send to Haiti or to Liberia or to CAS Community Services. Imagine how Port Huron might be changed if our congregation were able to direct $48,000 a year to youth crisis intervention within our community, or to feeding the hungry of our city, or housing the homeless among us. You see, $48,000 per year is what we would have to direct toward ministry if we did not have to meet that monthly mortgage obligation. If we are forced to refinance, we can do it. But if we do that, that $48,000 per year will go to the bank for the next 20 years. And that amounts to $960,000 that went to a bank instead of to ministry. As Dave Ramsey is fond of saying, Imagine what we, the people of God, could do for the kingdom of God if we were debt-free. So, on January 29th and on February 12th, we will offer a series of informational gatherings designed to give you the information you need to make an informed and, I dare emphasize, prayerful decision. We will offer identical 90-minute sessions at 2 o'clock and at 4 o'clock on each of those days. This will be a time when, beyond just receiving information, you will also have the opportunity to ask whatever questions you may have regarding this. At those meetings, you will not be asked to make a decision, but you will be presented with what is before us. That will come. That decision will be received at a special moment in worship on March 4th. Thus, the title for today's service and sermon, March 4th, to March 4th. All we ask at this present moment is that every one of us attend one of those meetings. Because the danger is, when we're faced with something like this, we just put it off and say, somebody else will do it. But I have a whole list of reasons why it should not be me. The first thing we can do for our church and for the future of our ministry, and to honor those who did the same thing in years past, the first thing we can do is embrace the invitation and begin now to pray about how every one of us can participate and contribute in some way to this effort. It goes beyond individuals, too. I was brainstorming with some people in the church about how this might happen over the course of the next 3 years, and I imagine that if every group within this church for the next 3 years would decide that sometime in the year of their program, they're going to have an event to raise money, and all that money is going to go toward paying down the debt, we'll make progress beyond your wildest imagination. We will. If you've been in that Dave Ramsey class, you know how he talks about approaching this thing with gazelle-like intensity. You just focus on it and you make everything within you an effort to get it done. Why? Because when it is done, there is huge liberation and relief. Well, I have great faith in this congregation, and I have great faith in the work that God has done and is doing among us. I would tell you that in the 9 years among you, I have witnessed time and time again the power of the people of this church to trust God, to band together, and to address a need and support ministry. We did it last year when we finally faced the issue of renovating our dilapidated bell tower. And the latest example came at the end of this past year in the final quarter, because entering the final 3 months of 2011, we experienced unusually high expenses due in large measure to your support for my leave of absence to care for Terry. And as that quarter began, we were looking at the possibility of ending the year having broken our tradition of 100% apportionment payment. So the word went out from the leaders in this church, and in the month of December, you contributed a record $68,000 toward the ministry of this church. And we ended the year having paid all of our obligations, having paid our apportionments in full once again, and leaving a small surplus in the bank with which to begin the year 2012. I don't know why I was surprised. I shouldn't have been surprised. You've done it over and over and over and over again. This is the power of the people of this church to trust God, to band together, and to meet a need. There is every reason to expect that that same spirit will be evident in the present effort as well. Just before I began my leave of absence, I told the Finance Committee that addressing the debt and devising a plan to pay it off as soon as possible was the most important task they had before them. They took me seriously. They worked on it hard while I was gone. And I know that they had excellent leadership from Reverend John Hoodla, who is wise in these matters. I'm very grateful to John for that. They took me seriously, and upon my return, I learned that a plan was now in place and ready to be launched. I am convinced that this effort is the most important task facing this church at the present time, and I am so pleased that in my final 6 months among you, this is going to be our focus, and this will be something to be handed on to your next pastoral leader. You see, either we will step up to the obligation we assumed together. I must emphasize that. We assumed this together. We will either step up to the obligation we assumed together and eliminate this debt over the next 3 years, or the ministry of this church will be restricted, hampered, by an unaddressed obligation. Either we will march forth and answer the call, or we will stay stuck in the present situation and just wish that it would go away. For the life of me, I cannot imagine that we will do anything other than band together, trust God, and step up to the task. While this campaign has a personal component for me, and I'm taking a risk here in this moment today, but I really felt the need to share it with you. I have expressed to you repeatedly my sincere gratitude for the immense gift that you gave to me and to my family in granting the leave that allowed me to care for Terry in her final weeks. I have prayed earnestly for guidance as to how I might give that gratitude substance beyond my sincere word of thanks to you, to John Hoodla, to everybody that pitched in while I was gone. Through prayer, I have decided that I can and must give sacrificially toward this effort. It needs, you see, to be a gift that in some measure, it can't be equal measure, it's not possible, but in some measure reflects and approaches the importance of the gift that you gave to me. So in gratitude for the love that God extended to me through each and every one of you, and in honor of Terry's place in my heart and in yours, I will give $10,000 from retirement savings to this effort. I do that not because I expect the same response from each and every one of us. I do it because, prayerfully, I have decided that that is what is required of me in this moment. All I ask is that you engage prayerfully on the same question and come to a decision that is right for you. But I want you to know this. I make this commitment with joy and in the conviction that God has called us and that we are about to march forth, and the liberation of this church for ministry in the name of Jesus the Christ. Thanks be to God. to God.